Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. In fact, I had to walk to a mailbox, and I was carrying quite a few envelopes this morning, and the envelopes are going out to many of you. Year to deal with a year-end thing and a letter of invitation that I wanted to share with you. And I make a regular habit of making sure I read the names and the places and the address and the states or the nations that people are contacting us from or partnering with us from. And then I like to read the name and the nation, etc. And I try to do it as often as I can because I have multiple exposure to looking at the names and addresses and the people all over the world and in the United States. And I try as best as I can to pray over the individuals. And many people, I know your name for years. I've had the opportunity to talk with you on the phone or meet you at a conference and stuff, or you've written me a note, told me part of your story. And so I look at the envelope, I know your name, I know what state you're in, and I pray for you. I feel like I have a authentic relationship with you. You know, people sometimes wonder, Paul, why do you send us letters that are handwritten on the envelope? When you write our address and name, and then you write the sender's address and name, you write it in ink, and we know that it's you personally, Paul, that wrote on the envelope. And if it's not you personally, Paul, it's your wife, Christina, who wrote on the envelope. Now, I've been told by some marketing experts and some people wonder, well, why do you do that? That doesn't look professional for you to handwrite, for the head of the ministry to handwrite letters to people and stuff, and your wife to do it. And, you know, I'm very polite, and I explain, and I'll share with you my reasoning. When I was a young Christian, barely saved, okay, this is when I was just starting to work with the Ministry of the Lamb's Club. But I always gave before I was married and after I was married. The rule for us in terms of giving gifts financially to a minister or ministries, number one, we had to believe the Holy Spirit was calling us to do it. Number two is the Spirit of God in us bonded with and related and believed that the minister of a ministry was truly a man of God. Okay. And once we knew, and then any ministry that we were regularly listening to on radio or TV or reading the books or the articles or going to a particular church, and whether or not wherever we went was our official home church or whatever, that was not the rule. The rule was, where is God feeding you personally? Where is God ministering to you personally? And who is actually doing the work that really needs to get done? Who's actually doing the work and willing to step out on the front lines of the spiritual battle and do the stuff that really has to be done, the really important stuff? Who's really doing that? Who's really stepping up to do that? Okay? It when those key issues were settled, then we knew, also by the Spirit of God, we knew that that's the minister or ministry that we were to give to. And so we knew that our economic blessing and protection in the windows of heaven was tied into our willingness to give. So we would decide, you know, how many different ministers and ministries we would regularly give to. And that was the other thing. We committed to do it monthly. So every month we would faithfully give. Or we would write out a large check to cover in advance, you know, many months. Now, the Lord always led us. We always had a sense of peace. We bonded. We felt one with that minister. Okay? Felt the Lord was leading us. So we obeyed God. Whether, you know, things were going great that month for us financially or whether things were tight. In other words, we were faithful to give to that minister or ministry because, not because of how well we were doing financially during any given, but the commitment was made with the expectation that if we obey God with our tithes and our offerings and our giving, then he will supernaturally meet and cover our needs. Okay? So we developed that habit before we were married. And God never made us rich, but God has provided for us and protected us and supplied for us. So that is a critical thing, and I want to pass that on to you because that should never be viewed as a burden. You're just like I ask you to enter into a partnership with me, a spiritual partnership with me in this ministry, and many of you do. Well, when you commit to God to give to a particular minister or ministry, you're making a covenant with God. You're trusting God that as you're obedient to partner with that minister or ministry that he's directing you to partner with, that as you obey God in season and out of season to give your donations and contributions to that minister or ministry, you're trusting that God is going to honor his word and supernaturally bless you and meet your needs, open the windows of heaven, supply in abundance all of your need. And the reason it doesn't say needs is when God will supply all of our need, it means, in one word, need means everything you need. Doesn't mean he didn't promise to make you a billionaire. Maybe he did to Donald Trump. I don't know. I don't want to get into that at all. But we're going to talk about that later next week. But you need to pray for our nation and our president. You need to pray for whoever is in office, by the way. And you need to pray whether you like them or not. Okay. So we obey God. And when we obey God financially, this releases, first of all, in faith, it breaks the financial curse that is on many people's lives and family lines. A lot of people's family lines and a lot of people are under a financial curse, or what could be called a generational financial curse, where poverty, financial affliction, devastation, bankruptcy, all kinds of negative things happen in a family line. Over decades, negative things happen when it comes to finances, wealth, assets. Okay? And many times you may be suffering from that. Now, I'm not telling you this to manipulate you. I'm telling you this to set you free. When, first of all, you pray for that to be broken, renew your mind, reclaim the word of God. So, for example, God's word says this. It is he who gives you the power to get wealth. What that says, it's God Almighty that gives you the supernatural power to make wealth and get wealth. You see, it's God. Yes, I know that there are many international banking families, the people are worth trillions of dollars, and they are worshipers of Satan and the occult. Satan is the temporary god of this world, and when he finds men and women to be his servants, he will reward them extravagantly financially. That is true. We're not denying that. But we also have to remember that in and under the kingdom of God, God rewards his people supernaturally with finances and wealth. The key is that when those that serve Satan want Satan to give them wealth and power, they have to perform the rituals. They have to worship Satan in order to release Satan giving them money and power and wealth. And when they worship Satan to get money, power, and wealth, they do very dark and evil things to satanically release wealth. But you see, you don't have to walk in the path of the devil. In God's kingdom, God says that he gives you the power to make wealth. And he will break that generational financial curse. And he'll break the financial curse, any financial curse over your life individually, over your family, over your marriage, your children, your ministry, your business. God, listen to me, just like I was talking about the need to come to Christ on today's program, and people prayed the prayer of salvation on today's program, I'm sharing with you right now, the Lord has told me to change the topics and minister on this topic. And so some of you, God wants you to hear this and accept it with the same tenacity that those of you that needed to hear about salvation responded. There are a number of you, and you know who you are because it's like God's tapping you on your shoulder or something. You can feel the presence of God speaking to you, and you know it's you, and he's speaking to you personally. You sense that it's like the Lord walked into the room. You can sense his presence, and what he's speaking to you via what I'm sharing right now. Why? Because he wants to set you free. And he wants to release your destiny. Many of you, and many people in the world system, many of you, going back, it's a generational curse, but many of you, in many different nations, America included, suffer from being under a financial curse, or a spirit of poverty, or a spirit of lack. Lord, there's a curse on your finances. You're under a curse financially. And your family line and marriage and children and many things you do have been affected by this spiritual curse over your finances and financial success and subjugating poverty. Now, the primary way you break financial curse or any other curse, but this is critical. Deuteronomy 28, this is critical. In Deuteronomy 28, we have the blessings and the curses. So in Deuteronomy 28, starting at verse 1, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, which means you diligently obey the word of God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Okay, so that's the foundational part of the covenant, the contract that God is making between you and him right now. So the Lord is speaking to many of you right now in America and across the world. He's tapping you on the shoulder. His presence is in front of you, and the Lord is speaking to you through his word, which I just read to you. And he's telling you the foundational truths that you need to know, and then he calls you by name, that will allow you to prosper, that will provide financial blessing, that will destroy a financial curses, even if they're generational. And the Lord is saying to you that here is the foundational truth, that you obey diligently the word of God and the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments. Okay, that's called obedience. You obey his word. Please understand, if you disobey God's word, you are always under a curse. It is a law of the kingdom of heaven. If you're disobeying the word of God, you're under a curse. And if you obey the word of God and all of his commandments, the supernatural blessing of God will be released in your life, and you will be set high above all the nations of the earth. That's favor, that's promotion, that's high-level authority. And then it says, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God, or you obey the word of God. All these blessings shall come upon you. And so there's a long list of primarily social blessings, economic blessings. These are not a long list of spiritual blessings. This is a long, detailed list in Deuteronomy 28 of specific job, career blessings, banking blessings, investment blessings, blessings defeating your enemies, blessing on your IRAs or whatever. If you got $10 in the bank, it'll be blessed. Blessed shall you be wherever you go. This is like blessing on all the economic asset financial areas. You release them by obeying Deuteronomy 28. If you disobey Deuteronomy 28, then in verse 15, there's a long list of the curses that will come upon you. Verse 15, but it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice or the word of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And then there's a long, detailed list of all the financial curses, the money curses, the job curses, the physical body curses, enemies contaminating you. And notice this, in the list of curses, okay, and confusion that you will release in your life by disobeying God's word. When you disobey God's word, you're summoning this giant list of curses. So it says in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 21, listen to what it says. Listen to this, man. This will give you revelation regarding right now. What's happening now? The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you were going to possess. I mean, wow, I could just like, I don't have words. And to think that the Lord is giving a supernatural revelation by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he brought it out of his word to communicate it to you, and he knows who you are by name right now. The Lord is bringing this truth from his word, and he's offering it to you personally right now and saying, go ahead, take it. Go ahead, accept it. Go ahead, receive it. Then the Lord's saying to you, when you choose to receive the truth of my word, you will be blessed and the financial curse will be broken. And he means that regarding you specifically, or your family line. Now listen, the Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed from the land which you are going to possess. Okay, so the plague could be the pandemic. All right, a plague is a pandemic. COVID is a plague and also a pandemic. The COVID plague or pandemic is not only devastating America, but just about every nation on planet Earth is having a horrible negative impact, especially financially, in terms of actually living or dying. And it's due to this global plague or pandemic called COVID. So what God is saying to his children regarding finances, regarding blessing or curses, in verse 21, The Lord will make the plague or the pandemic or COVID cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you're going to possess. Okay, so what this means is that because you have put yourself under a curse by disobeying God's commands, by pretending you didn't hear the Lord and you disobeyed him and you didn't do what he told you to do, because you disobeyed God and didn't do what he told you to do, you have released supernatural and very powerful curses upon your life and your family line and your children. And specifically, one major curse that you are releasing for your disobedience is that the COVID plague, the COVID pandemic, you're making yourself vulnerable for the COVID pandemic or plague to cling to you. That means to stick to you biologically, psychologically, body, soul, and spirit. You're opening the door in the spiritual realm for the curse of the COVID pandemic to cling to you or to stick to you, body, soul, and spirit. And as COVID sticks to you, it will consume you. It will consume your body. It will rob your body. It will destroy your body until, unless God or medicine intervenes, you're going to die. You're going to die of the COVID pandemic. You're going to die in the very land which God brought you to, where his intention and plan was to bless you in that land. So God has spent all this time preparing you in order to bring you to a promised land. God plans to bless you in that promised land. But now, because you made the decision to disobey and break the commandment of God, okay, because you broke the commandment of God and disobeyed the commandment of God, then even though God brought you to the land where he wants to bless you, the plague, the COVID plague or pandemic, is going to consume you from the land where you came to be blessed, which you were supposed to possess. You're not going to possess that land. Okay? You're not going to see the fulfillment of blessings in that land. Why? Because you opened the door for a curse, and the pandemic plague, when it clings to you or sticks to you, it means you're not throwing it off. You're not rejecting it. You're not getting healed. If something clings to you, it's on you, and you can't get it off you. If the pandemic plague is on you, and it sticks to you and clings to you, then your body can't recover. It can't heal. Whatever should be done to kill the biological source of the COVID plague isn't working. So it's clinging to you and killing you. It's consuming you in the very land you were supposed to be blessed in. That's a horrible curse. It's not because God is cruel. He operates according to his divine law. When you violate and disobey God's commandments and law, you open the door up in the invisible realm to receive both blessings or curses. Then verse 22, the Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with the sword, with scorching, with mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish, and your heavens which are over you, over your head, shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you shall be iron. Okay, and there's more. I mean, it's bone-chilling to read the extent of the economic curses, the military curses, the social curses, the curses that are released into your life or anyone's life that chooses to disobey and break God's commandments really are terrifying. And God is not telling us to scare us. God is telling us to wake up so that we can reject these horrible curses. So you have the questions regarding, legitimate questions regarding vaccines and autoimmune diseases, et cetera, et cetera. But the point is, by the way, God uses doctors, God uses medicine. The key is going to the right doctor and taking the right medicine. That's why you get more than one opinion. And I'm not a doctor. I have to say that for legal reasons. And I don't give medical advice. I have to say that also for legal reasons. Okay, so these curses can be released in your life when you disobey the commandments of God. So in verse 22, along with the COVID pandemic plague or any plague, it says the Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever. So high fevers go along with severe infections. High fevers can go along with COVID, okay, or autoimmune diseases. Inflammation. Inflammation is the body reacting to toxins, either biological toxins, viral toxins, bacteriological toxins, or like heavy metals or GMO foods or a long list of things. All of these things, including autoimmune diseases, can generate toxins in the body. Various toxins in the body are poisons. Now, what the body does when faced with an attack by poisons and toxins is the body attempts to generate by itself, it attempts to fight back against the toxins and the poisons by sending out things in the human body that can kill diseases and toxins, etc., and other things. So it's like a biological war going on in your body. But inflammation, that's what causes inflammation. And so that's why inflammation appears in so many people who have various illnesses, sicknesses, autoimmune diseases. In just about every situation where people are walking around in a tremendous amount of physical pain, whether it's localized or general, there's many forms of pain and how it can be generated. And the Bible talks about inflammation. Well, we all know that inflammation is the number one thing that causes the pain in most cases. Inflammation is a precursor to pain in most cases. So if you didn't have inflammation, you wouldn't have pain. Okay? Incredible pain is usually a symptom, many times, of incredible inflammation. So there's a commonality of what occurs when people get various diseases, sicknesses, illnesses, accidental ingest poisons, etc. Commonality is they experience inflammation, and then they experience a high level of pain. And so when you go down the list, as I do for you, in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind, History of the World, the Lord led me in my research to go into many different areas. By the way, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind, History of the World, is almost sold out. You need to get it, you need to read it, you need to share it. You can get it at paulmaguire.us and buy yourself a couple of copies. However, because we're almost sold out, the demand has been outrageous. Because we're almost sold out, we have the printer in the process of printing a second printing, more copies. So if you get, which you should, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, be prepared, because most likely we'll be sold out, be prepared to wait approximately 3 weeks and give us some grace if it's earlier or later. approximately 3 weeks, and then you will have your copy of The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. The book is simply selling out far faster than we expected. But the good news is we have it at the printer, and we're printing copies. You just need to be a little extra patient, okay? But it'll be worth the wait, because when you read the book, which was written before the coronavirus, it was written before all chaos broke loose in our nation. It came out like 2 months before everything erupted. The Lord led me to do research on numerous things, including autoimmune diseases, inflammation, plagues, pandemics. Now remember, I'm researching all of this in detail in The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. And different medical healing opinions, immune system strengtheners, et cetera, latest scientific discoveries. Again, I'm not a doctor. I encourage you in the book, as I'm doing verbally, to, you need to consult a medical doctor. But it's uncanny to me, in every book that I've written, how in the researching and writing process, how many times the Lord, I can't even count, how many times the Lord has guided me supernaturally in my research, what books I read, what sources I discover, the Lord supernaturally leads me in book after book after book. I've written 34 books. And what's uncanny is sometimes what I write about, because the Lord led me into something, all of a sudden it will open doors up for all kinds of truth. Or all of a sudden, months after, sometimes years after the publication of a particular book I write, people will ask me, how could you possibly have known that this was going to happen or that was going to happen? And it's because the Lord supernaturally guides my research, such as the case in The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. I talk about 5G. I talk about immune systems. And you got to remember, my original manuscript for The Greatest Battle was 4,000 pages. I had it spread out in piles on the floor of this studio. And then I had to sculpt it down to around 500-something pages. All the while, the Lord is speaking to me, leading me to research, causing me to remember things, prodding me, pushing me, sometimes literally, supernaturally putting scientific words or pictures or graphs or symbols or replaying interviews I saw or something I read years and years ago, because the Lord has given me a photographic memory. The only requirement is that if my mind is not interested in the topic or the person or whatever is in the memory, the photographic memory doesn't seem to work. It only works in things and information that I either have an interest in, or the Lord knows that at some time in the future, it could be 6 months, a month, or it could be 35 years. At some time in the future, remembering something is going to be of great value. So this is like miraculous. The Lord will lead me supernaturally to research and study all kinds of topics, individuals, and situations. And sometimes I don't know. Most of the time, I forget that I even knew it, okay? Unless he's actually revealing to me stuff as I'm writing. And then I'll include the research he told me to go into in the books, like in The Greatest Battle. But sometimes an obscure conversation, all kinds of events and experiences or whatever happened to me as a young man or a child, and I will, because they have no relevance at the moment, I will completely forget about it. And then like 40 years later, like this happened yesterday, then like 40 years later, I'll be watching TV, talking with my wife, doing this, doing that. And suddenly, I was walking around. in our house. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, I told my wife that please don't interrupt me. It sounds like a prima donna, not. But she's very patient with me, and we have like an unspoken rule. Because I'm a writer, and I do a lot of creative things, but especially writing. And any one of you that write or creative or you're athletes or business people, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Sometimes psychologically, or I believe because the Lord blesses us, we can enter what psychologists and neuropsychiatrists call a flow state, peak performance, and things of that nature. Peak performance, or being in the zone, or a flow state. And that is when our body goes into, naturally, not with drugs, our body goes into an altered state of consciousness. And there's a nutritional component, and how much sleep you have is a component, and what you're studying or reading or people you're hanging out with functions as a component. Many things can make your heart and mind more fertile to these receptive states, because these are not weird, it's not the occult. Things like being in peak performance, being in a flow state, being in the zone, those are scientific words for a new science that has been developed, especially spearheaded by the military since the 1940s with their super soldier program. They spent hundreds of millions of dollars in the scientific development of what they called super soldiers. Men are women who are trained to be super soldiers and operate in a flow state and peak performance. And because they were programmed biologically, physically, mentally, nutritionally, scientifically, to perform at peak performance, the military called this enhancement or enhanced. Super soldier is a soldier that has been enhanced by psychological techniques, by biological techniques, perhaps by computers or an implant and a wireless connection to another computer. You can use a chip to control biochemistry of the brain. All of these things, along with environment and music and stuff like that, can facilitate the possibility of your mind going into a flow state or peak performance or in the zone. Most of you know what I'm talking about. So as a writer, you know, when the Holy Spirit moves on me, I know it's the Holy Spirit. So first, the Holy Spirit is moving on me. And that is a byproduct of having put God's word in my heart and mind for over 40 years, for praying, for meditating about the things of God. And when I say meditating, I'm not talking about contemplative prayer, which is not biblical meditation. It's Eastern mysticism. But true Christian disciplines and worship and reading the word of God and praise and renewing our mind has the ability to increase the percentage of times we can experience enhanced performance, a flow state, be in the zone, and things of that nature. Okay, so I was talking to my wife and I said, darling, whatever you, just don't interrupt me. And I know that sounds like I'm super prima donna, but that's not how it plays out. She understands, because see, I told her I'm in a flow state. It took me a while to get us both on the page of speaking in scientific terms like that, but there was no other way to do it. So like I tell her I'm in a flow state, And she knows what that means. My mind is in the zone. And so when my mind is in the zone, my consciousness, my thoughts, my creativity, my decisions, my inspiration, my guidance, my business sense, my intelligence, everything that I use and employ as both a minister and a writer of books and a creator of media material, all of that when you're experiencing a flow state, all of that stuff, I don't surf, but it's like surfing in waves of your mind. You're just like incredibly complex information, planning, etc., is being mapped out with logical, rational clarity. Answers come to you. Problems that you couldn't solve are solved. Understanding of highly complex theories regarding physics or economics or politics and all kinds of things. All of a sudden, with a flash of insight, you're able to put together the puzzle pieces way beyond your own human ability. So you're enhanced. You're in peak performance, and you're in a flow state. So as long as you're in a flow state, it's like you're surfing, and then it's a higher non-occult state of consciousness. And in this state of consciousness, your actual electromagnetic frequency of your brain and your body and your being, your actual EMF, the EMF waves of your brain, for example, if you were to physiologically measure your brain waves through an EMF reading machine or an MRI scan or EEG or any number of technological scientific instruments, what they found is that when a person is in a flow state, peak performance, or an enhanced state, that their brain waves change. Okay? Now, I don't want to get into the whole brainwave thing, although I discuss it in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. You have your alpha. Basically, you start with your alpha, beta, theta, and delta brainwave states. Then you have things like gamma. Okay, so beta is your, you know, two cups of coffee, rational, I got to get to work, shave, shower, get to business mode. It's important. Alpha is slightly optimistic, but somewhat gullible. Then alpha, beta, delta is more of a REM sleep, subconscious, highly creative problem-solving brainwave, but usually it's associated to somebody who's in a trance-like state, REM sleep, or some stage of sleep. And part of operating in a delta brainwave state is it fights pain, it releases creativity. So when you change states of consciousness, your actual electromagnetic frequency changes. Now, why you need to know this is some EMF frequencies, some brainwave states are positive for you, are healing to your mind and body, will help your DNA, will cause all kinds of healing and positive and growth things and peak performance and everything else. So some brainwave states help you achieve peak performance, help you fly like an eagle. Other brainwave states are like fight or flight. You know, you'll be Superman with your physical energy, but you're running on adrenaline and paranoia because there's a threat and a danger. Then there's the consequent adrenaline crash, and then there's the depression. So these states are scientifically important, and they're important to understand them. So when you enter a flow state, and many super athletes and super businessmen have taught themselves or have learned how to ride the waves of their peak performance, their flow state, their in-the-zone experiences. And in those states, they're a million times more productive and insightful. So like a famous Olympic swimmer, I forgot his name, Michael Phelps. Why was he all alone sitting at the Olympics with his headphones on? All by himself. Now, one of two things. He was listening to some inspiring meditative type music to change his electromagnetic frequency and enter peak performance. Or how a lot of athletes enter peak performance is they play on their headphones, driving hard, intense rock and roll music, intense hip-hop rap music, and they take the energy and brainwave states of that hard, intense music, and they channel it into muscular power and adrenaline, which enables them to get swim and get the gold medal. But he was doing one or two things. He was obviously altering his state of consciousness into like a I'm going to win mode. Okay? So why am I saying all this? Because you and I live in a multidimensional battlefield that takes place in the physical dimensions, that involves psychology, that involves biochemistry, that involves neuropsychiatry, that involves spirituality, evil and good. And there are beings and forces and powers that impact negatively or positively our physical world, which is a dimension we call reality. But these forces and beings and powers come from another dimension, which is known as the spiritual world or the invisible realm. So as true biblical Christians, we're fighting on a multidimensional battlefield. Now, everything that I talked about on today's program was designed to build you up, to empower you by God, to allow God to anoint you. Everything I taught on today's program was designed so that God could use it to release your prophetic destiny, so that you could be released, your vision could be restored, so that you could be empowered, so that you could be effective and an overcomer in the great spiritual war that is raging all around us. That's why I write books like The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of the World, where, by the way, I was led by the Lord, once again, to talk about brainwave states and how they fix and change reality, and many, many other topics. The what happens in a 5G environment where the electromagnetic frequency of 5G is 100 times more powerful than 2, 3, or 4G. It goes far deeper than that. We don't have time right now. We could go into the book of Revelation and spiritual warfare and then learn about frequencies in the book of Revelation. And I talk about that in my books, especially if you get the book bundle with Conquering the Matrix, etc., available at paulmcguire.us. But to do all of these things, including winning souls for Jesus Christ, you and I, in order to be victorious, have to operate in sync or line up or obey the Word of God. If we obey the Word of God, we operate within the laws of God and we release supernatural blessing upon our lives and the lives of our nation, family, and children. Okay? If we disobey or violate the Word of God, then we release a supernatural curse that is released upon us, our children, our families, and our reality. In other words, our reality, and whether that reality is blessed or cursed, is largely dependent upon whether or not you and I and other believers choose to be in a position to either obey the Word of God and to worship only God, no idols, or if we enter spiritual deception and choose to disobey the commandments and the Word of God and we choose to worship idols instead of the true God, then we open up a supernatural portal in another dimension where a curse is placed on countless areas of our lives, from our biological health to our wealth to our finances to all kinds of things, to our destiny. Now, if you don't think this is real, let me challenge you with this. Adam and Eve were put in paradise by God, the Garden of Eden. They were the perfect age, perfect bodies, everything wonderful. They were given the supernatural authority to rule and reign, which meant they were given the power by God to be the king and queen of planet Earth, paradise in the Garden of Eden. They had the supernatural power to exercise dominion over it. I mean, they were blessed beyond belief. They lived in total blessing in every area of their life. Their relationship, the beauty of the Garden of Eden, they were living forever. They didn't have any, hang-ups in their relationship. They had a perfect relationship. They were completely blessed on a level that is dizzying. But the one thing that God commanded them to do, which was don't eat from the fruit in the middle of the garden, God's one commandment is the only thing he commanded them. They rejected God's word, they disobeyed God's word, and they ate from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. And what happened? By disobeying God's word in that specific area, they released a supernatural, all-comprehensive curse on the totality of their lives, their body, their relationships, the world, the environment, their community, their children, their grandchildren. A total curse. They recreated the world under the power of a total curse. Think about that. Because they disobeyed God. So, when we read the book of Genesis, this is so critical. This is like having your finger on the code or the buttons that release inexplicable, awesome supernatural power in and through our lives and into the world. God has given us that level of authority and power. Now, let me read you what it says here, because this is mind-blowing. It says in Genesis that there they have authority to be the king and queen of planet Earth, okay? But when they chose to disobey the word of God, when they chose to reject God's word, they literally activated one of God's primary cosmic laws. They activated the law of sin and death, and by activating the law of sin and death, they released the curse in every dimension of their lives, biologically, psychologically, spiritually, environmentally. Every part of life was now under a curse. Everything was subjected to or infused of by the death force. So everything is in degradation, decay, dying, sick, all because their disobedience opened a portal for the death force. So what we need to realize is that the decisions we make, whether we're going to obey God or disobey God, or we're going to worship God or worship idols, it may seem that we're making these decisions in the privacy of our minds and nothing's going to happen. No one's going to notice. But the reality is those seemingly small, insignificant choices, decisions, and beliefs that we make, they have the actual power to transform all of our internal reality and to transform radically all of our external reality. And so without anyone knowing it, just like the death force entered Eden and planet Earth through Adam and Eve, and just like they activated the law of sin and death, and there were massive changes, when you and I obey or disobey God, when you and I worship God or worship an idol, And it appears we're just doing it privately inside of our own minds and hearts. What is really happening, according to the law of God, is that we are flipping the switches. We are pressing the buttons that release an enormous amount of cosmic energy in the form of a death force or a life force, or activating the law of sin and death, or activating a curse or generational curse, or conversely, releasing supernatural blessing in every area of life, from wealth to health or whatever. You don't mock that because it's based on truth. Okay, so this is what we're called to do, because we're in a world where Satan, who's the temporary god of this world, the people of this world in America and around the world, are freaked out, they're afraid, they're paranoiac, the suicide rate's high, the depression and anxiety rate's high, people are going crazy because everything that they looked at formally to be their normal, everything that they looked at formally to be their supply, to be their occupation, to be their reality, to give them money, their entire framework of life, everything that people looked at in America and around the world to be their normal, to be their reality, to be their source, because of the coronavirus and its impact on the global financial system, along with the social chaos and intense battle for the heart and soul of our nation raging. Now, millions of people, if not billions around the world, they have had their lifetime normal shattered. They have had what they considered to be normal, their normal perception, their normal mind. Normal has been shattered. And normal in terms of their finances, their supply, their protection, who they trust, who they don't trust, relationships, the entire framework of their lives under a category called normal has now been shattered. And they have been told by a scientific elite, a technocratic elite that is covertly manipulating the minds of the masses, they have been told that their only solution is to reject normal and to accept the new normal as truth and reality. In other words, they have been socially engineered, they've been manipulated into rejecting the old normal and accepting a new normal, except this new normal is built on lies, evil, deception, manipulation, and the new normal is covertly designed to enslave mankind. That's heavy stuff. So we need to communicate the truth of this and set people free as fast as we can. We need to win souls as fast as we can. We need to teach God's people these principles of victory and Bible prophecy as fast as we can. Why? Because there are powerful forces at work even now that are doing everything they can to potentially shut down every single form of communication, either on radio, TV, the internet, social media, search engines, and cell phones, laptops, and all kinds of distribution technologies that you may not be aware of. There is an all-out war by an elite to remove and destroy all of these platforms so that truth, knowledge, real, credible power, information, data is locked out of people in America and around the world. Why? Because in order to conquer people, you enslave them in their minds first. It's a battle for the mind first, and you fill their minds and hearts with lies, deception, and falsehoods, which collectively could be called the new normal. It's a hijacking of the human mind. So the only way we can win this battle is we have to have a fierce determination in our hearts and minds of never surrender, never retreat. And we have to commit ourselves faithfully to the Lord Jesus Christ in obedience, whether we feel like it or not. And we need to choose with an act of our will, not just because it feels good. We need to choose that we are going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're going to choose to obey God and trust God and put our faith in God. We are going to choose that we're going to receive and accept God's prophetic assignment and God's prophetic destiny for our lives. And how do we do that? We obey the Lord. And how do we obey the Lord? We read what God's word says, and then we do it. So God says to you and me and every believer, go into all the world and preach the gospel. God is telling us he wants us to win souls. God is telling us to make disciples of all nations. That means teach a biblical worldview to all peoples and nations. God is telling us to occupy the land spiritually till he comes. Not retreat, not lose the land, not allow the armies of the Nephilim and Rephaim, the Canaanites and the Jebusites and the Girgazites and the Hittites and all the tribes of Canaan, not allow them to destroy the people of God and the truth of God's word. You know, when you read the story of Joshua and Caleb, they were sent into Canaan, which was also the promised land. But Canaan was filled with genetically hybrid races of Nephilim and Rephaim, the mighty men of old, these giants, because they had fallen angel DNA in, and all these pagan and occultic tribes in Canaan arose because of it. And yet God told Joshua and Caleb, with their relatively small number of men, that they were supposed to go in there and conquer the inhabitants of Canaan and take the land, possess the land, because in actuality, Canaan was really the land of Israel. It was just illegally occupied by the Canaanites, who were pagans and occultists and worshiped Satan and Lucifer, etc. So Joshua and Caleb were faced with giants, as David was when he was faced with Goliath. And they were told by God, go into the land, check it out, and give me a report, like a military intelligence report. So Joshua and Caleb went into the land of Canaan, and the first thing Joshua and Caleb noticed was that the giants were initially afraid of them, because the giants in their minds perceived themselves as grasshoppers, and the giants perceived Joshua and Caleb and their men as giants. So there was a reversal of perceptions. You could call that psyops or psychological operation. Psychological operations. There was a reversal of perception. In reality, the giants were really physically giants and far larger than Joshua and Caleb and his armies. But Joshua and Caleb entered into the land of Canaan, assigned by God to function as spies and spy it out. And when Joshua and Caleb made the decision to obey with their wills the commandment of God and the word of God, Joshua and Caleb chose with an act of their wills to obey the Lord. So Joshua and Caleb obeyed the Lord. That gave them, see, when you walk in obedience to the Lord's commandments, that automatically puts you into a mindset of being more than a conqueror. It gives you a faith-based mindset. And when you have a faith-based mindset, you have a mind of being more than a conqueror, of being victorious. So Joshua and Caleb entered the land of Canaan with a faith-based perception and a faith-based mindset. And that somehow changed and reconfigured not only the physical, but the psychological and spiritual reality of what happened. Mysteriously, after they developed or activated their faith-based mindset, mysteriously, the giants in Canaan mysteriously saw themselves as weak grasshoppers. And then, for some strange reason, when Joshua and his army looked upon the giants, they supernaturally saw the giants like grasshoppers, and they perceived themselves as giants. So there was a total reversal of who was the giant and the conqueror, and who was the weak, defeated grasshopper. Very interesting how the faith in God and the power of God reconfigures reality. So Joshua, Caleb, and their armies entered Canaan, and they took out a huge number of the armies of the Nephilim and Rephaim and the pagan tribes that did not believe in God. The Girgashites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Rephaites, and on and on. They were attacked and destroyed by Joshua and Caleb, because Joshua and Caleb were operating in something transcendent of peak performance, transcendent of a flow state, transcendent of being in the zone. They were operating in a supernatural state of faith in the Word of God, which releases God's supernatural power. That is even above and beyond flow states and peak performance. And because they were in that faith-based perception, empowered by the Holy Spirit, they were given the supernatural power to perceive and the supernatural power to overcome and conquer the enemy and occupy or possess the land of Canaan. The key was they obeyed God. Okay, so that's your key regarding whatever spiritual battle for our nation, spiritual battle for your life, you have a choice before God that he's giving to you today, and he's given to me today, and he's given to every believer today. And the choice is this. The problems externally may or may not continue. They may even intensify. They may wax and wane, go up and down. That isn't the key issue. The key issue is who is God, and there's only one God. It's the biblical God. That's the key issue. The second key issue is, who is it that is our real source, capital S? Who is our God? Who is the source, capital S, of everything we get? Our protection, our money, our jobs, our health, everything. Our source is not accident, chance, good luck, fate. That's what the people of the world falsely believe. Our source, who is faithful, capital S, is Jesus Christ, who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So no matter what the problem, no matter what the need, no matter what the attack, no matter what the blessing, the source, our source is always the same, capital S. Our source is God. The source of the world is themselves. They, in their deception, believe they're God, just like the people in ancient Babylon. That's a lie. The truth shall set you free. Okay, so the number one thing that we need to do is make sure we're in a right relationship with Jesus Christ, which we did on today's program, and we continue to walk in that. Then we seek the Lord in his word and prayer and ask the Lord what our assignment is. I'll give you a hint. Part of the clue as to what your assignment from God is can be discovered in numerous factors, like your likes, like your interests, like what occupies your attention. That can be a partial revelation of what your real call is. But I can tell you this, also the very fact that you're a regular listener and partner of the Paul McGuire Report radio program and the Prophetic Emergency Alert video program, and you visit and watch our social media, and you buy and read my books, why there's a connection between me and you. And there is. There is a supernatural connection between me and you. You can feel it. I can feel it. Now, I'm not saying that connection exists between everyone out there and me. I'm talking to those of you who do have that bond, that connection with me. It's a supernatural connection. I've had it in my own life many times. That's how my wife and I, 30 years or more, 35 years ago, when we first moved to Southern California, we chose finally the church that I would spend the next 25 years developing in and ministering in, which was the Church on the Way in Van Nuys, California. At that time, the founder of it and the head of it was Reverend Jack Hayford of the Church on the Way. We had visited many big churches. We visited them all. And so after a number of months, we decided to visit the Church on the Way in Van Nuys. At that time, they were still meeting in their older and much smaller chapel. The church later, through revival, exploded in numerical growth. And it was in a process of exploding when we first visited. I was actually, quite frankly, somewhat terrified of going there because I had read about all the movie stars that went there. And, I was like insecure back then about being around all these movie stars. So to get a seat, my wife and I got there early. So we were one of the first people on the steps of the door that opened in to the church, and then the smaller church and sanctuary of Church in the Way. And it was packed. But I'll tell you what, the power of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the invigoration of the Holy Spirit, the worship of the people, and the pure rivers of living water that were flowing through the people as we worship God together, the anointing and purity of the Holy Spirit with power that flowed through Dr. Jack Hayford, people getting saved, people recommitting their lives with Christ. Look, there was no question, and this was not like some wacko, crazy, charismatic circus. And I'm not knocking charismatics. Everything was decently and in order, but the place was so filled with the brilliance of the Holy Spirit and the purity of the Spirit and presence of God, and the Holy Spirit in its purity moved throughout the people. There was no way, before even walking into the sanctuary, the Spirit of God was being poured out on us. And instantaneously, an instruction, a counsel from God that was so far beyond our human intellects, it simply popped into both of our minds at the same time. And that was, the Lord simply said, "This church is your home. This is your home. This is where you belong. This is where I've planned for you to be and grow." And it was that simple. God spoke to us with crystal clear clarity, and we knew without a shadow of a doubt that for that time in our lives, which was a long season, that we were supposed to be at the Church on the Way. We felt at home. We felt at home with the pastor, Pastor Jack, who later mentored me personally as a leader in the body of Christ. We were home. And then we obeyed that. And that obedience to worshiping and plugging into Church on the Way for, close to 30 years, discipleship comes with a cost. You got to pick up your cross and follow Jesus. So initially, after the Lord called us and told us Church on the Way was our home, we lived at that time way out in Rancho Cucamonga. So it was 3 hours each way to go to church. And we went to church on minimum twice a week, Sunday and during the weekdays. So that meant we had to drive 6 hours round trip just to go to church. And actually ended up burning up the car because of the excessive mileage. But that was our home, and it was worth it. And God poured out his Holy Spirit and edified us and built us up so powerfully because we obeyed him by making Church on the Way our home. And that obedience followed through to our willingness to give up 6 hours round trip every time we went to church, spending what seemed like a fortune on gasoline, and ultimately burning a car out by driving so much mileage on it, to keep our commitment to go to Church on the Way as our home. Now, why is that important? Because that is the reward of obeying the Lord. Our goal was not to satisfy ourselves. Our goal was not to find a church that was close. See, people make all these secondary and non-important choices. The only important choice is that where God is calling us to go to church and worship. Is this the pastor that God wants us to sit under? That is the only issue. And once you settle the issue, is this where God wants me? Then you'll be willing, if you love the Lord, to make the appropriate sacrifice. The decision was never based on the secondary or third things, which is, you know, is it close to my house? That's not, if you don't have transportation, that would be important. So you put God first, and that releases the blessing of God. Joshua and Caleb put God first, and the anointing of victory came upon them. So we can change the direction of America despite unexpected adversity, despite the high plausibility of intense conflict and chaos escalating, despite the fact that there may be pervasive disappointment regarding what has happened. Jesus Christ is still ruling and reigning the created world and universe. Satan's just the temporary god of the world. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So at this pivotal time, at this strategic time in spiritual warfare, which will determine the outflow of what happens for your children and grandchildren and so on, should the Lord tarry, I'm thanking you for choosing to be my partner and the partner of Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mount Church. I want to thank you for choosing to be my partner, and I want to thank you for your faithfulness, being intercessory prayer warrior for me, my family, and this ministry. Truly, truly, from my heart, I thank you. And I want to thank all of you that know that the evil big tech giants they're taking people down left and right. Hundreds of thousands of people are being removed and censored. Their followers, their listeners, their viewers don't know where to find them. I've tried to prepare you this for over a year. You need to write down, put it in your cell phone or computer, all of the alternative social media platforms that Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church has, if we should disappear. I'm very, very serious about that. And what you do is you go to paulmcguire.us, scroll down the page, and write down, photograph with your cell phone, put it in your computer, keep a list of all of those various sites, the Roku channel that we have, the Vimeo that we have, the Facebook pages that we have, Friday.com that we have, the YouTube that we have, the website that we have. And then we have all these podcasting sites for those of you that are listening on radio. And we're adding, as we speak, additional sites. But none of this information will do you any good unless you have it. I know a lot of people who are calling me, et cetera, who are panicking because the minister, the teacher, or whatever, or the ministry that they really like or blessed by or whatever, has been torn down without any warning, and they can't find them. Because, you see, one of the things they did when they rigged the internet was they rigged the search engines. So even if you type in the name of a ministry or a person or whatever, does not guarantee that the search engine is going to automatically find their new website or URL or address or whatever. In the old days, it would automatically find it for you. Now, with algorithms and bots, they're programmed to keep you from not finding them. This is very serious. So, let me encourage you to write down, photograph, put cell phone, laptop, okay, and keep a list of all of our other social media platforms. We're adding new ones even as we speak, and do it immediately. So if by some chance we're not there, you'll be able to find us. This is a full-on war. It's not an accident. It's methodical. And ultimately, what this is doing, whether in the minds of the human beings that are making these decisions, the elite, whether this is top of their mind or not, only God knows. But one of the primary effects and impacts of their decision to rig the internet and censor it is that they are using their vastly powerful billion-dollar social media platforms and search engines and internet technology. It's being used, whether they recognize it or not, it is being used to block and barricade and wall off the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth of the Bible and God's word, the truth of the message of salvation through Christ by faith. Hundreds of millions of people across the world right now no longer can hear the gospel or biblical truth. They no longer can see it. They no longer can watch it. They no longer can hear it. They no longer can read it. Okay, that's a massive satanic wall. If these companies, in their attempt to purge people, ended up using their technology and it blocks out the dissemination of the gospel, of the light of Christ, of the truth of God's word, which it has. See, what is the core reason I do what I'm doing on the Paul McGuire Report and Paul McGuire Ministries and all our social media, internet media, audio and video? What's the bottom line? The bottom line is I am devoted. We are committed to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're committed to winning souls for Christ. We're committed to making disciples of all nations and teaching the Bible and the biblical worldview. That is everything we're about, okay? And when these human institutions, social media, internet engines and stuff, when they block people and ministries that are dedicated and committed to preaching the gospel and the message of salvation, whether they fully realize it or not, they are blocking the preaching of the saving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're interfering with God's soul harvest. They're interfering with our ability to evangelize the lost. This is sacred ground you're treading upon. Please, please, please don't allow your hearts to be so dulled, to be so desensitized as to not realize the full gravity of what's happening. When we or other people, depending upon who they are, who are committed to spreading the message of Jesus and God's word and salvation, if we are blocked, then the gospel is being blocked. Salvation is being blocked. The word of God is being blocked. Now, those people are fighting against God Almighty and the purposes of God. This is sacred, holy ground. This is a very dangerous place. I would shake in my boots if I thought my actions, my money, and my decisions were causing salvation to stop being preached and the Bible to be censored. Okay, so you go to paulmcguire.us, you scroll down a little bit, it'll say the Paul McGuire Report with a picture of me wearing a tie, and then underneath it, it'll say Brighteon for the Brighteon.com video site we're on. Then it'll say YouTube, okay? And what you want to do is have all these option opens, okay? In addition, we have a Roku account, which is an independent channel. There's no reason why you shouldn't have Roku. It's on almost every new television that there is. And plus, you can buy a Roku device for like $10 and have a teenager hook it up for you in 2 minutes. And then you can watch our teaching and ministry and other people's teaching and ministry on the Roku channel. And then we have on Brighteon and YouTube and Roku, we have the Paul McGuire Report, and we have the video Prophetic Emergency Alert, and we have other social media. But then for audio and stuff, we have, write it down, Podbean. Bean, like B-E-A-N, Podbean. iTunes, Facebook, multiple pages on Facebook, SoundCloud, Podbay. It's Blueberry, but it's spelled B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. Then we have Blog Talk Radio, all one word. Then we have Stitcher. We have Twitter. Okay, this is critical. You don't have these links and connections. That's it. Not just for us, but for anybody else that's connecting to you. And then you need to click below that. You need to click here. It says click here. You click there for the Paul McGuire Prophecy Report. You sign up there. You become part of our e-blast list. We do not sell our e-blast lists. We do not sell information to anyone. We do not give our information away to anyone. Okay? You understand? But if I understand why people sometimes don't like to sign up to different things, is because then they get a lot of email. But let me tell you something. The alternative is, if you don't sign up to our e-blast called the Paul McGuire Prophecy Report at paulmcguire.us, if you don't sign up for it, then we have no way of notifying you about where we've gone in social media and the internet. We have no way of sending you the free videos and free audio. We have no way whatsoever, because the tech giants have blocked it. So you've got to do this immediately. Yes, I'm being honest with you. You may have the slight inconvenience, not because of us, it's people spam and they send you all kinds of junk in your email. We've reduced the size of our prophecy report so it's as short as possible, has all the important information you need, okay? But you need to join it, because if things crash, the only way that we can contact you is through that. And you don't have to be afraid about, oh, I joined an e-blast list, okay? Now there's, computer knows that. Or, look, wake up. The computers know everything basically you're doing 24/7, okay? Everything you do on the internet is tracked, profiled, and recorded. And that was 20 years ago, all right? So don't go into the illusion that you're hiding from someone. You're not. You're not hiding from anyone, all right? That's just the way technology is. But the only way we can stay in contact with you is if you'll sign up for the Prophecy Report. Now, of course, if you're not interested in any of our stuff, then don't sign up. I'm talking to those of you that want our stuff, okay? Also, subscribe to the YouTube channel. I don't want to name the names of which tech companies, but there's a fair number of them that we're on that are rigging our numbers, rigging our watches, our views, our listens, our likes. You say, how do you know they're rigging them? How do you know you just aren't getting less people? I know they're rigging them, because when I compare the rigged numbers with some of the other social media platforms, which play our audio and video stuff, when I compare the other social media platforms with the ones that are rigged, there will be sometimes similar type shows, or sometimes, in some cases, a show or program may be repeated. And all of a sudden, I'll look at the companies with integrity, and I have a very large, large number of watches, views, likes, and listens. I'm amazed. It's like, where'd all these people come from? It's a very large number. I wouldn't even know that, because when I go to the ones that are rigged, consistently, the numbers are manipulated to be on the lower end of the scale. So if I was to trust their feedback, I'd say, well, you know, that's a very small amount of people listening. Fortunately, I don't know how long it'll last, when I go to these other alternative social media internet sites, I get to see the actual record of watches, likes, views, etc. And they're massively large compared to the ones that are rigged. And this isn't happening just to me. It happens everywhere. In fact, I read a intelligence report. Let's just leave it at that. This week, I read an intelligence report that discussed step by step how powerful entities and organizations like the social media companies, etc., how they can and how they do step by step target certain sites and individuals, people and messages, points of view, how they target them, and then how they artificially manipulate and reduce numbers of watchers, viewers, likes, listeners. They artificially rig it and manipulate it so it's very, very low. And then this article exposing the strategy talked about how then they'll use the internet and social media to attack, belittle, marginalize, try to make look like a nut, try to make weird, do everything they can to bring down a minister, a writer, a speaker, a leader, a ministry, a brand. They do everything they can to bring it down and make it seem like it's very powerless and insignificant. That is a psyops, a psychological operations strategy. And it's employed in nation after nation. So what they do is they're controlling the big game. Got it? By the way, all of this is in the books Conquering the Matrix, Mass Awakening, and the others available to you at bulk bundle discounts where you save money if you go to paulmaguire.us, paulmaguire.us. Also, subscribe to the YouTube channel. You need to subscribe to it. Not for the purpose of annoyance, but because that's the only way that we can attempt to increase our numbers of likes and views and followers and subscribers. Because when you have larger numbers, as all of you know, and as all of your teenagers know, far better than us, that those numbers can open doors, can give you favor, they give you power on the internet. And that's why there are secret methodologies at work designed to destroy those. Okay? Now, I cannot stress how serious I am about what I said. And I really ask you personally to consider strongly what I said. Serious. God has called us together. The body of Christ can choose to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can release the power, the peace, the blessing of God, and the love of God in our nation. I am not saying that we should be naive about the tsunami that's just hit us. We shouldn't be. But neither should we operate in impulsive action. Always ask yourself the question regarding any action, any activity, any undertaking. Who is going to benefit the most from any kind of action, activity, or thing that you do? Who's going to benefit the most? If it's God and God's people and God's kingdom and the truth and love and the truth of God's word, if that's going to benefit the most, then prayerfully and including everything else into the mix, that would appear to be a potentially wise choice, right? But if what you do, if you participate in a demonstration, if you react to somebody who's baiting you to get angry, lose your temper, if you're reacting to somebody or somebodies that are deliberately trying to provoke you, deliberately trying to stir up anger, before you go into an emotional overdrive, before you just allow somebody to press your buttons and manipulate you, you have to stop, take a deep breath, and ask yourself the question, if I did or if I participated in such and such a thing, who is this going to benefit? Who is this going to help the most? The things or people that I believe in, or the things and people that I don't believe in? And you would be surprised how many times people engage in things or participate in things that actually harm, attack, and potentially destroy the very things that they believe in because they did not bother to use wisdom and think things through. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Help spread the message far and wide. Fast. I mean as fast as possible. And connect to us in every way I suggested. I need your prayers. The warfare is fierce. I need you to stand with us. And I need you to humbly come to before the Lord with childlike faith and ask God how you can practically stand with us as we develop alternative platforms that cannot be crashed, as we strengthen our outreach and ensure technologically that it can't be destroyed. We're working 24/7, full speed ahead, to make these things, to implement these things, to increase our outreach, the effectiveness of our outreach, and that includes the development and paying for new technologies that protect our ability to communicate to you. But in order for us to do that, to be really blunt, I need some of you to seek the Lord, some of you that God has blessed in an unusual way. I need some of you to really think about what I'm saying and step up to the plate if after praying the Lord directs you to, and be willing to make a large donation or a set of donations or a contribution, perhaps on a level far beyond what you may have considered. I'm not asking this for myself. I'm asking this because in order to stay victorious in this spiritual war, you and I have to deal with the practical world of technology, access to technology. And yes, it takes money to buy and acquire the more powerful, sophisticated technologies and to develop and implement and access alternative networks that nothing's a guarantee, but that would significantly strengthen our ability to preach the message that God has called us to preach. We can continue to do that with your partnership. And remember this, this is not said for the purpose of manipulation. This is wise counsel based on my own experience. When you make your priorities God's priorities, when you dedicate your money, your talent, and your time to God, then you have entered into partnership with God. And God will supernaturally bless you. And God will supernaturally bless you because God trusts you to be faithful to do all the things that He's commanded you to do. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us.